Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for ranks, flanks, and kings of war. Join your hosts as they delve into the world of Panathar and bring you worldwide coverage of all things Kings of War.
Welcome to Countercharge. I'm Blake Schroed.
I'm Adam Ballard.
And I am Jeremy Duvall. Excited to have Adam and Blake on to talk Adepticon 2025 and Clash of Kings. So we got some cool updates in today's show. We're going to be talking a little Baird Center, which is the new location for Adepticon in 2025. We'll talk some Kings of War events, what events are going to be taking place. We'll talk a little bit about the PAX, a little travel logistics, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, to get everyone excited and ready for Adepticon next year. So first off, let's do a quick around the circle hobby event update. You know, last we haven't had you on a little bit, Adam, had you on when we first broke the news of the new Adepticon possible format and events. But I know you're a big tournament traveler, road warrior. What have you been up to in the Kings of War sphere?
Yeah. So I think last time we were on was before the U.S. Masters, if I remember correct. So obviously had that going on. Had a really great time at Nova with the Masters. I feel like learned a lot from what could be done at an event like that. And I think Blake and I took a lot away from that and want to replicate a lot of great things that they had there for Adepticon. But yeah, hobby-wise, you know, nothing for me as usual. But tournaments after after Masters. Went to Jason Burr has a one day in Minnesota called Battles and Beers, where we literally put tables in his front yard and have just coolers full of beer and Jello shots and different things. So had a great time at that. And then a couple weeks, that was early September. So a couple weeks after that, there was Crossroads, which I unfortunately wasn't able to make this year, but you know, had a big interest because my team that I played with last year was the reigning champions, and they were top battle this year, but apparently their paint scores weren't good enough to take it all home. So, you know, I was really, really missing that one over the weekend. Was getting updates as quickly as I could, but wish I was there. And then next one on my books is Nerdhammer GT, which will be in a little bit less than a month from when we're recording this. So I'm flying out to Pennsylvania. Alan Beener's gonna pick me up from the airport, show me around, and yeah, I'm hanging out with the Nerdhammer guys all weekend, and obviously all the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast guys that make it as well. So really excited about that one, and can't wait to sell them on some Adepticon trips, hopefully, for get them to travel over to our neck of the woods.
And I imagine you traveling on the plane with the Halliburton with the handcuff to the wrist with a suitcase full of $1 bills for strike action.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got plenty of those left over from Masters. I made out Saturday night like a bandit, and you know, in some ways, it's even better than winning the Masters. So,
well, Nerdhammer, a good group of guys. It was cool. My first chance meeting them all at this Masters. Mm-hmm. So, and Nerdhammer seems like a super fun event. And then I know I've been hobbying this weekend as we record. And I know, shout out to Direct Misfire that was hosting the Australian Masters. So that was a fun stream to watch. It was really interesting in the last game. Jeff Trace lost, but won the Masters, but he lost on what appeared from the audience to be, they were playing control, and they rolled a unit in a square that based on the top down, I don't know if you saw the very end of the game in the last round, but it didn't look to me at all like it was in that square, but you never know those things until you're like, you know, you can't tell for sure from a camera what square a unit's majority base is in.
Yeah, yeah. No, I unfortunately wasn't watching, but I plan on going back and watching some of the VODs. I know Jeff Treisch quite. He and I have played in online events several times, and we're pretty good friends. So I played quite a bit of practice games with him leading up to the event. So, yeah, I knew he had a lot going for him, good momentum going into this event. So I, you know, if I was a betting man, I'd always bet on the master.
Yeah. Well, and suffice it to say, he ended up losing that last game, but still won. So congrats to him as the Australian's master.
For what, like the fifth time, sixth time, maybe? Yeah. He's the only guy that it's just like, yeah, it's him and maybe a couple others sprinkled in between, but mostly him.
Yeah, definitely one of those names, right, that you expect to hear about to do well. I've only had the chance to play him once, but was a very, you know, what you would expect in playing against a top level competitor, right? Very tight, very scenario driven, very focused on. And I think that's good. The players who think that way, right? Killing you is the last thing on their mind. The first thing on their mind is winning the scenario. And what does it mean to do that? Sometimes it means killing your opponent. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. And his list, I really like his Abyssal Dwarf list, especially, you know, being pummeled by it a couple times leading up to this event. It's kind of sneaky in what it does. And also, after seeing it, very straightforward. So it's one of those lists where it punches you in the mouth, and that's really what it does. But you're right, Jeremy. Even though he takes the tools to be able to just steamroll over people, he doesn't necessarily do that if it's not the most optimal way to come out as a victor.
And a couple of his games in Masters too, he was very astute at layered deployment. You know, sometimes when you layer deploy, you can feel like, well, you know, my stuff can't do anything because it's all behind my other stuff. But there's a lot of strategy to second line layered deployment that I think is more challenging for newer players to sort of wrap their head around. So if you want to see a couple good examples of deep layered deployment, especially in the last game in Control, which again, you wouldn't think to layer deploy in Control, right? Usually you're thinking about a more, thinking about, you know, I'm going to fight for these two squares and move up and fight for those four squares or four squares there, or I'm going to go full line. But like layer deploying in your home square, you would feel instinctually you're going to get capped, you're going to get stuck. But he is very astute at navigating that style of board state. So go take a look at that if you're curious about that.
Well, I was going to say, as a fellow Abyssal Dwarf player, I definitely want to actually see the videos. Strangely enough, the week before, Adam had sent me his list and said he thought I was going to win Masters, and it did. So I definitely want to learn how to play that. His list is half of mine, and then he uses some other squishy stuff, and that's probably why he's doing the layer deployment. But I haven't seen it yet, so I am looking forward to watching those myself.
Yeah, well, they're good videos. So, like I said, the sound quality is good. The video quality is good. I was listening to it when I was painting this weekend. So definitely check those out if you haven't had a chance to watch them. Put them on the background or whatever. It's good high-level caliber play to watch. So what about you, Blake? What have you been up to in the hobby sphere?
Well, a lot. I am going to be running the booths for Mantic at some major events, and we're trying to get a bunch of stuff ready for that, for Halo and a new big game. And then ever since we talked last time, we did Michigan GT, which was a blast. Rob made it up for that one. And then we have moved into a kind of cool show I got to do because of Halo, which was called Torg in Columbus, Ohio. It's a retro video game convention, not something I would have thought was big, but I had to do 30 demos and had a bunch of guys coming through and talking about the game. And the 405th cosplay group was there, which are a bunch of really cool guys who are really into Halo. And I got to do a stream with them on a demo game. And then now I'm just getting ready for PAX. And then after that, Adepticon.
Awesome. So Ronnie's keeping you busy, sounds like.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, having a great time.
And how did Michigan GT go pretty smoothly? It seemed like people had a good time.
Yeah, I think it went really, really great. We had a great storyline basically formed. Nate, the gentleman who won, had actually just started playing several years ago after he watched a Michigan GT at the Lansing Center, saw that we were having a bunch of fun. His friend Daniel was in it. He decided the next year that was the tournament he wanted to play in. I believe he won Wooden Spoon and came in dead last, but had a blast. And then the second year, he came and did, you know, pretty well, middle of the pack. I think he even won Counter Charger that year. And then this year, he actually won the whole thing.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and he's a great hobbyist. His armies are really painted well. He does really cool themes. Like he had a dwarf army that was a bunch of bar fighting dwarves. You know, his salamander list was, of course, fire, but it was really, really well done. So he's a great hobbyist as well as player. So he's really improved and played a lot to win it, the whole thing.
Very cool. If there wasn't a need for a montage music, that's it. Showing him finishing last and he's working on it and he gets middle and then comes to take it. Congrats to him. That's cool. So glad that event went well. It's been busy in my neck of the woods. We had, since I was with you guys, you know, Masters, obviously we had Bay of Kings, which was the same weekend as Michigan GT. That's why I wasn't able to go. But it went really well. Just like you guys, we took some stuff from the Masters. We used Mike Adkins' tournament software that he used at Masters at Bay of Kings. And we're going to be using it at our Masters, which is everything's done off everything's done off QR codes, right? You submit your results by taking a picture of the QR code. All the tournament info is managed through that. So we're going to be using that at our Masters too. I think that went really well at Mid-Atlantic Masters, the whole use of his software. So we tried that at Bay of Kings and had no problems. It went off without a hitch. And we're going to use that software again at Riddle of Steel in February, President's Day, so that we'll have 2 to 3 internal events using that software before we then run a major event with it. I think that's a good idea, right, as a TO. Get familiar with the software you're going to want to use prior to the day that you're going to use it. So that's what we're trying to do is, even in our smaller events, we're running them now through the lens of we will be hosting Masters. So let's refine, you know, how we run an event. Let's refine our software use. Let's try things. You know, we're going to be developing our pack for Masters and submitting that to the Masters Council soon for feedback. So that's been one of the things we've been working on, is getting all of that stuff done. The Reno Jackalopes Fall Tournament is coming up here in a couple weekends. I will be heading to that. I'm very excited for that. The Reno guys run a great event. This year, usually we've held it at a store, but we're starting to try to grow the scene. So this year, they're going to be holding their tournament at the University of Reno at Nevada. One of our players up there, Nick, teaches for that for the college. So we're going to be trying to take a look at that space. We're really hoping to not only have Masters go off really well in Reno, but we're really hoping to build one of our bigger travel events there as well. So we're trying to make our 3 big events, Bay of Kings in San Diego, awesome multi-game system, Bayside, awesome event, right? Riddle of Steel is our bespoke, you know, held at Scott Holcomb's house, hard cap of 24 players-ish, food provided, heavy narrative, but still competitive. And then Reno, we're looking at maybe having an event that's easy to travel to. Again, trying to have a third sort of bigger event of the year in our region. So it's going to be really interesting to see how does this work at the campus on the university. We also have, when you play at a store, you're kind of subject to, when does the store open? When do they close? What do they have? Whereas when you're playing at a space like this, we can start earlier. We can stay later for board games or whatever. So excited to see what's going on with there. And as part of that tournament, you get a free monster. So I've been working on, I'm starting a new Northern Alliance army that I'm pretty excited about. So the monster that I'm taking, which is a jackalope, I'm just going to use my Snow Troll Prime for. So I started painting my Snow Troll Prime. I'll send a picture to you guys in our host chat. But it's coming along pretty good. It's I'm doing like an early winter, late fall basing scheme. I'm trying to have the Prime has his, if you've ever seen one, he has like his fist in the ground. So I'm doing like a superhero landing. So there's like a broken little puddle where his fist is that's shooting water up, like when he jumps down from like a cliff. So that's coming along cool. I use like a green stuff roller for elf stone because it's a ice elf themed army. So everything is elves, pretty much both the internal stuff. Like I have Icekin Hunters, I have half elf berserkers, but like Harim, I'm going to use a tree herder as Harim. So I'm going to use, and on my Frostclaw riders, I'm going to put some elves on them. So still, it's still going to be 100% Mantic, but just thinking about how can I use different Mantic models for different things. So pretty excited about that event. And yeah, so just really interesting. There's going to be more stuff for Masters, obviously, as we get closer, getting released. Now we're just trying to get a sense of best of the rest. We're not quite sure because we're not going to have a lot of local best of the rest people, right? Our scene is smaller. So especially with 3 to 4 of us not playing who normally play for Masters to run the event, we're probably not going to have as many of the local players who aren't actually on the Masters. So if you're thinking about best of the rest, just let us know. We're going to get sign up soon going. But if you're curious or anything, we're pretty excited in getting that running. I know, Adam, you ran a U.S. Masters, and it is not something you put together at the last minute. So we are hard at work here now, 6 months, 7 months beforehand.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't envy you, Jeremy, especially the part of best of rest and not knowing exactly how many people are going to come. The kind of that unknown number is always a little scary from a TO side of things, because obviously there's costs to these events. And if you're going saying, I really think we can hit this number and you fall short, then that really sucks. But the worst part is if you're like, I think we'll hit this number, and then you get so many more than that and you can't accommodate it. So it's a nice little balancing act that we have to do. And, unfortunately, I think the Kings of War community has a bad habit, if you will, of not signing up for events in a timely manner. So I've definitely found that as a TO for many years here. So
yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Unfortunately, I think 25% of Michigan GT signed up after the website was supposed to shut down. And then they all bought their tickets after it was supposed to shut down. Luckily, they were a bit late pulling it this week or this year.
Yeah. And like I said, we don't have signups quite yet. I mean, it's many, many months away. And then also too, we will have some sort of system around if you're unsure if you're going to make the team, but you know whether or not I make the team or best of the rest, I know I'm going. We are going to try to get a somewhat of a head count of. So if you know you're going to go to Masters, whether or not you don't know if you're going to make the team or not, but if you don't make the team, you're going to go. We're going to have some information on when we do release signups on how to denote sort of where you're at as far as just like you said. I mean, the contract is signed and dotted. The money has been paid. So now it's whether or not it becomes a write-off, right? Or if you break even. But in running these events, we don't run them. No TOs run events to make money, right? You hope that by the end of the event, you've broken even, or the money out of your pocket, you sort of just are like, okay, this is the tax I'm paying to help grow a community that I love. So that's sort of definitely the mindset of we're at, is that we want to deliver the best event possible. And that event is going to cost what it costs. And thankfully, we have a committee of players who are willing, and a lot of great players too, who are willing to donate sweat equity, whether it's printing stuff for us or working on terrain or, you know, really trying to utilize our community. Just because we realize, like anyone, that when you hold a Masters on the coast, you're asking a lot of people, because whatever the other coast is, it's a lot of travel, right? And Mid-Atlantic did a great job last year hosting it on a coast, doing well, you know, having things run super smoothly. So we're just excited to you know, take some of that and host it here. And, you know, it's in Reno. So it, and often in the past, West region was default California, right? But the West region does include more states. So even though, it is in Reno, what personifies us as a region is not just California or not just Nevada. It is an attitude of, we respect that to come to our events, it costs money and it takes time to travel. So in knowing those two things, our attitude is once you arrive, you will be taken care of. And that's something we plan to showcase at Masters, as all the, you know, I know Adam, you guys did this, and all the great TOs do this, which is just get here and we'll take care of everything else. We'll get you where you need to get you. We'll get food. We're going to have a whole, a concierge basically, to help with all of that.
Yeah. And I love that about the Kings of War community, because, you know, I don't think I can pinpoint or put my finger on who was the first necessarily, but it just seems like the environment of Kings of War is just what you described. You know, we want to hang out with our friends, and, you know, we've met so many people across the country and even outside of the country that any chance we can get them to come to one of our hosting events or meet us at another event, you know, we go out of our way to do what we can to make that comfortable for them. And I agree, Jeremy, and, you know, hosting Masters, I think that mentality has really sunken in over the, you know, lifespan of Masters as it was. So I'm very glad to hear that. And I'm looking forward to Reno. I 100% am going. So I hope that we get a lot of other people going too, because it's just an awesome event, whether you're playing in Masters, whether you're playing in Best of Rest, hell, whether you don't even play. I know several people that have gone to these events without any intent to play Kings of War, just to hang out, socialize, and have fun. So I'm really looking forward to your guys' event on the West Coast.
Yeah, and we're a smaller region, so it's definitely going to be our first experience running a bigger event. So I imagine there will be things that we learn and adapt to and do well and learn from throughout this whole experience. But what we do have going for us, though, being a small region, is we have a lot of people who are pretty known and vocal in the community and who are you know, really great TOs in their own right. And space-wise, we have a good amount of space as far as having room for streaming and for a board game, all that stuff. But more to come on that. We're still pretty early on that. So, yeah, so I'm just getting ready for that tournament here in a couple weeks, and I'll be taking the base aliens as I'm working on the Northern Alliance. And since I'm not really, like, playing in Masters, right, because I'm going to be helping to host, my big tournament of 2025 is going to be the Clash of Kings at Adepticons. That's sort of my big event for next year. So we're going to take a quick break, and on the other side, we'll come back and we'll talk all things Clash of Kings and Adepticon. We'll be right back.
I'm Ronnie from Mantic Games, and you're listening to Countercharge.
Do you take delight in playing with friends and their toys in a safe place free of judgment? Countercharge After Dark. It's where magic happens. Check the show notes and Facebook group announcements for the Discord link.
And we are back. So just as a reminder, Adepticon is going to be held from March 26th to March 30th at the Baird Center in Milwaukee. I was talking with you a little bit offline, Blake, and it looks like that's about 20 to 30 minutes from the local airport, sort of depending on your time of day. So pretty close to a local airport.
Yeah, it's actually pretty close to a lot of things. And we'll talk about the open house that we did. But one of the cool things is some people can fly a lot cheaper into Chicago rather than Mitchell, which is the name of the airport in Milwaukee. And Adepticon actually, beyond finding out, you know, about flying into Mitchell and how long it takes to drive, they also ran a train and a bus from Chicago up to Milwaukee. So if you can find much cheaper flight into there, I believe the bus was $70 and it drops you off 2.5 blocks, I think, from the convention center. And then the train is $65 and drops you basically halfway between the airport and there, I believe. So both of them are very doable. A few blocks walk or an Uber, and you'll be at your hotel from there. If that is, you know, saves anybody any money. I think Adepticon was really thinking about a lot of people from flying from overseas for that type of thing. So,
yeah, because I looked internally, and I like to fly out of Sacramento, which is, granted, it's a state capital airport and it is an international airport, but it is a smaller airport. And I was looking at flights to Mitchell, which is the airport in Milwaukee, and it was showing me round trip, obviously now, which is a fair enough ahead of book time. But that's always the strategy we tell you in our Road to Adepticon series that we've done in the past, is book early. It was showing me tickets of $375 to $500, which is about what it was cost me to fly into Chicago, give or take, right? So definitely some options for you on how to get there.
Yes. And like I said, I'm happy that your flights were reasonable or comparable. I don't know that. I know flights for me, I'll end up driving instead because we're going to have a big booth to take with us. It's fairly reasonable. I think people are going to find out the hotels and things are more affordable. The overall experience there is more affordable than being in Chicago as well. And you will not be trapped like basically at Schomburg Renaissance, where if you leave, you're going to lose your parking spot. There's going to be lots of things you can do. But we'll talk about that in a minute with the open house.
Yeah. Yeah, let's touch base on the hotel. So the hotel block for Adepticon went on sale already this last summer. So a lot of those links are sold out. But often when you can look at the hotels that an event has a block for, if the block is telling you it's sold out, you can always just go to the hotel direct, right, and see if they have other rooms. But it seems like, Blake, maybe take us through this. It seems like there is a fair amount of hotels in or around the Baird Center itself as far as people finding space. Any thoughts or tips or ideas on when people are looking for hotel space around the area?
Well, there's two hotels that are connected to the Baird Center. The first one is Hilton and the second one is the Hyatt. And then the Spring Hill Suites is connected through the Hyatt. So you basically walk from your hotel across the street in a to the Hyatt and then across to the center. When they put the rooms on sale, I believe they had 6 hotels in the block. They've now expanded that there are 12 hotels in the block, and they may be able to add more rooms as they go. They are still trying to negotiate bigger blocks and things like that from what they mentioned. So, and they're also still negotiating, you know, even parking prices for all these hotels and the city, which is a big parking group. So keep checking out with Adepticon. They might be adding more rooms as they can. If not, yes, there are 12 hotels. There are, I think, 5 of them within half a block of a doorway for the Baird Center. And then I think there's like 8 that are within, you know, a block and a half. So there's lots of hotel space there. It's just not all of it is in the block. This was the first year for Baird Center moving to Milwaukee. Not all the hotels were going to say, here's all our rooms. Like Renaissance pretty much said, okay, it's all you guys. The hotels in Milwaukee are not doing that yet. They're just giving us small blocks and those are building. So I think they're adding more rooms as they can. So something to keep a check for on the Adepticon site as well.
Yeah.
Well, so they have, this is better than the Chicago setup, if I remember correctly, because the Schomburg site was kind of isolated. There was, what, 1 or 2 major hotels right in that area. And then you had to go another, you know, half mile down the road to get to another one. So I knew some people that were, you know, taking an Uber daily to get to the Schomburg Center. And it sounds like there's just a lot more hotel room space within a walking distance. Is that, am I understanding that right?
100%. Like I said, the Spring Hill Suites is right across the street. Hyatt is right across the street. Hilton is on a different street, but right across the street. Sorry, the Hilton, I mean. And then there's a Courtyard Marriott. There's a Doubletree, I believe, there. There's just a ton of them really close in that area. And I mean, the vast majority of everybody who comes to Adepticon will be able to just walk from their hotel easily. It won't be having to drive in 10 minutes like you get some places else. So.
Yeah, usually at Adepticon, if you're not at the venue itself, you're further enough away, either at a Suites, a Holiday Inn, or whatever. You're driving every day to the event, right?
Yeah, right, and fighting for parking. Which
oh yeah, and if you're not there early in the morning, forget about it. So both Adepticon and at adepticon.org, they have a list of the hotels there, of those three main, right? The Hilton Milwaukee City Center, the Hyatt Regency Milwaukee, and the Spring Hill Suites Milwaukee downtown, which are the three connected by Skywalk. But then there's a bunch of other hotels, like Blake mentioned, the Courtyard Marriott, the Doubletree Milwaukee, the Drury Hotels. Also, the Baird Center website also lists a bunch of hotels close to it as well. So take a look at that to get a sense of space and walking and, where you're going to stay. But definitely feels like more local options. Again, I don't think they were like, ha, 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 let's move Adepticon to a crappier place. Right. I think there's method behind the madness of why they moved to the Baird Center. And I know, Blake, you recently had a chance to go do the do sort of an open house walkthrough. What was your sort of initial sort of Baird Center? OK, what was your sort of first take on the Baird Center?
Wow. That was it. Okay. The place is amazing. First off, a little bit of background. Gen Con used to be held there back when it was called the Mecca, and then I believe Milwaukee Entertainment Center. It was held in the south building of the Baird Center. The Baird Center has now added an entire building and then built an exhibit hall across both of those buildings. So it is roughly 2.5 to 3 times the size of the last Gen Con. I'm familiar with the area due to Gen Con, so I was grateful enough. Hank and Matt and Shelley and Dustin and the gang from Adepticon had to do a walkthrough, and they invited several of us vendors along to come in and go with them. They just did this renovation that makes this place amazing. Yes, to Adam's point, when they were trying to remove, think about where to put Adepticon, there are some other options thrown about in Chicago. One of the ones that's big enough to host it is full of pillars. So everything would have been occluded. You couldn't have seen across the room. You couldn't have seen across tables for very far before a pillar would have blocked your view. And it wouldn't have been what Adepticon is, which is a very, huge, tables everywhere. I mean, you've been to it, Jeremy, enough that like for our King's War event, all the armies that we have on the table, it's just an amazing sight. We're all used to it because of Masters, but for the wargaming hobby, this is now 9,000 people all coming in with the same dreams and love for figures, whether it's historicals or other companies, but it's amazing to see it all together. So, anyway, we were kind enough to get up there, and they took us through the exhibit hall, where all the vendors are going to be, where the Atomic Mass Games area is, and the Warhammer section. So if you're familiar with Schaumburg, those three sections are now in a spot that's about twice the size. And then there are two floors of extra conference rooms and gaming centers that we're going to have. I believe it's called S200 or South 200 area. It's going to be like for Fort Wapple and a bunch of hobby seminars and things like that. And then on the first level, they're going to have a bunch of areas for gaming like Kings and things like that. To give you an idea, Jeremy, the room that Mantic has been in all the time is called Utopia at Schaumburg. And this has, I think it's 6 rooms that are basically the size of the Nirvana from Schaumburg, which is 2/3 of Utopia, as an example. And then it's got 3 rooms that are the size of Utopia. So then it has 2 rooms that are the size of the big ballroom at Schaumburg. So, nice. It's basically 3 times the gaming space, twice the exhibit space. And that is mainly because they're not even going to be renting out the whole of this place. On top of it just being huge, all the gaming areas are well carpeted, well lit. they're going to have, you know, admittedly, a lot of them were empty when we were touring through, and it was only a small group of people. However, they've put effort into acoustics and sound and things like that, that I think people are going to like for streaming, which we'll talk about later. But the place is impressive. It's massive. And, you know, even if we get 9 or 10,000 people at Adepticon this year, we're going to have a whole lot of space. You know, there's not going to be too many problems of trying to figure out where to put a cart during a game or anything like that, for sure.
And I'm guessing, kind of like how Adepticon was, will Mantic sort of have its room or its setup, and all their events will sort of be happening in that same area?
Right. One of the cool things is it looks like Mantic is going to have its own room this year. We're going to have a place to host all of our tournaments and basically hang out as well afterwards. Adam and I were big fans of what we did there for Masters, where, you know, quite honestly, everybody tended to stay late and hang out and chat and play other games. A lot of people played Halo. There may have been some dice rolling and some cash changing hands. You know, ask Adam that one more. but that type of thing, that community that we all know and love anyway, is going to be able to take place in that room, because we're going to be able to have access to it ourselves.
See, that's the awesome part, because in the past at Adepticon, Mantic maybe have been 75% of the room that they've been in, but they've always had to share it with other things, right?
Right.
So it will be nice to have a space all to ourselves, right, for all things Mantic. That's right, sure. There is a big quality of life improvement, yeah. I think.
It was,
This is the biggest thing in my mind about the change here, because, you know, we got Halo now. There's going to be a ton of Halo games and tables set up for that. We got Kings is big, but, you know, Armada, Adept, or Firefight, like all those games can be set up without us having to then tear down those tables to use for the next event, like what we've had to do in the past with Adepticon, of using the same game space for 3 or 4 different events over the course of the weekend. We have so much space now.
It's really going to be a lot of fun and very cool. Obviously, you know, if we get a lot of people signing up for Halo and Kings and Armada and Team Pairings Tournament, all of those things, we can even get more space. Matt made me thrilled when he told us that. First thing he kind of told me was, you know, we're going to see about getting you your own space. So
that's awesome. Great. And then Mantic, I'm guessing, will be at Adepticon in the vendor hall as they are at every.
Yes, Adepticon. We will. We will be there it's up on the third floor, up at the top. Unfortunately, that's where I'm going to be spending most of my time. So I won't be able to see as much of you guys during the day. Another reason why I'm excited about having our own space, because then I can just kind of come down there after dinner and hang out with everybody as well.
That's great. And one of the things I've noticed at Adepticon that can be tricky is trying to navigate the food situation, especially around lunchtime, right? I mean, even at the hotel that we've been in previous, some of the lines come lunchtime would be crazy. What's now, since you've been in that area, what's the food situation looking like in and around Baird Center?
Well, I think a lot of people are going to be very happy with this situation for food. First off, Visit Milwaukee has maps on it, and I think it's visitmilwaukee.org. We should get that link on here, but it basically has a list of, I think, 105 restaurants that are within a mile and a half or 2 miles of walking. None of them are all that far. There's a couple bridges that you have to cross over to get to some, but that it's beautiful and a great walk, you know, and short and quick, actually. On top of that, you have a bunch of different levels of things. If you want a fancy steakhouse, they have them. There's like 3 or 4 to choose from. If you want, you know, basically pub or bar food, there are several of those. I think the standout for most of the convention is going to be the Third Street Market. Third Street Market is an area where they've built in basically an indoor pavilion over an open area. And inside is a street market of fast food restaurants and like casual fast food type restaurants. They have everything from a mac and cheese joint to hot dog joint to Italian. They have sushi. There's, I think, 2 different pizza spots. And everything ranges from, you know, relatively inexpensive up to, I think, $25 is the most expensive there, but I did not look at the sushi. That's not something I tend to eat, but everything else is actually very reasonable, and you have a bunch of choice. And I see people going over there in big groups. Everybody separates, and then you go and get a table together and have your food. It's also going to be popular because you can go there 3 times in a row and get something different every time. This is not Schomburg. This is one of the things I wanted to stress for the place that they've chosen for Adepticon now. You can walk just about anywhere. There's just amazing stuff to eat. There's convenience stores that are close by in a couple different directions. It's not like at Nova Open, we had one convenience store, I think, that we found or we knew how to get to. This one, there's going to be multiples of those. Depending upon where your hotel is, there'll be one close by. There's even a Kohl's across the street. I know when they had moved to Schomburg before, we lost the Target that was next to the old location, and everybody is upset about that. Kohl's is not necessarily Target, but it is a place. If you forget a belt, there's a place to go in and get one if you need it, that type of thing. I just think the food options here are going to be amazing. Anybody who really, likes dining of any sort, or somebody who's just looking for a quick meal, is going to be satisfied with the choices they have.
I'm excited for the pricing you told me, like $10 to $15, and there's several different options in that range. That's cheaper than I expect to spend on a meal at a con in general.
Yeah, so. I think the fettuccine Alfredo that I had, it was chicken fettuccine Alfredo with garlic bread, was $12. I think they even had a version of it. The chicken fettuccine without the garlic bread was $8. So when I say that there's affordable options, I think the hot dog was $8, but I believe that came with a drink and fries maybe. But anyway, there are affordable options. And then, like I said, there's steakhouses and seafood places nearby as well. So it just depends on what you want to eat.
And that's nice. So in case you do need to fly into Chicago and drive or rent a car, or because it's going to save you money on your flight costs, you can know that you're also going to, or if you have to spend more money to travel or whatever, based on your situation, the cost is going to be cheaper food wise. So that's
right.
Good to know.
The other nice thing is once you get to the hotel, as I said before, you can walk so far. I mean, you guys know me. I'm not the smallest guy in the world, but I had absolutely no problem walking around for 3 days trying to find places to eat, convenience store. We walked across to the Safe House, which is a really cool bar that's spy themed that I love. All of those things were just a short walk away. It's not like Schomburg. The other thing I do want to mention real quick, though, is like when you go ahead and park, they're going to be negotiating prices on parking to make it cheaper for everybody. I think the city averages between 20 and 30 a day for each parking spot, but they're negotiating to make that less. Okay. Unfortunately, they're in the middle of that. But this is the type of place is you'll be able to go ahead, get a parking spot, park, and then you're not going to really need your car. Once you get unloaded and get into your hotel room, get your army itself set up, you're gonna be able to walk everywhere.
That's a nice part. There's nothing like having to, or going to Adepticon when you got to drive every morning is like such a pain in the butt. Sort of.
I was gonna say the Baird Center itself has a parking lot too. It has a big parking garage, so you can park right on site.
And it's always a good idea. Meet up, talk to people in the community. I've met people for the first time at Adepticon, as far as, hey, I'm landing at the airport at this time. Is there anyone heading over to the event? Or think about carpooling is one of those ways that I think you can save money, spread that cost out. As far as if you do have to pay for parking, spread it out between, a few in your group. So something to take a look at. But it sounds it sounds like a great choice. Adepticon, definitely to me, this last year felt like there was too many people, too hard to get around, wasn't enough space. So I think they've made this change for a lot of real reasons. And it sounds like so far it's going to be definitely a benefit to not only everyone attending Adepticon, but especially those under the Mantic umbrella. It's going to be really nice to have all this extra space.
It will be. I will say I don't know how the weather will be in March, but I think it's like five blocks away is a very nice beach on Lake Michigan. There's a really cool old school gaming shop called the Old Guard Hobbies, which has full suits of armor and amazing artwork all around the room. They're going to be running a shuttle back and forth from their store, from what we were told. So there'll be other things to do. There's an art and history museum right next to the beach. There's Discovery Kids Museum as well. You know, if your family's close by or comes with you. So there's going to be a lot of stuff to do beyond that. The one thing we did on our way out of town, we hit the Harley-Davidson Museum. I'm not sure they have every single year, but I think they have a bike from just about every year they've ever been in business.
So definitely lots of stuff to do outside of just gaming. So if you want to bring a partner or people who maybe aren't going to game but want to come, definitely stuff. Because like you said, once you exited out of the Schomburg Hotel proper where Adepticon was, there wasn't anything to walk to other than like some, you know, places to stay maybe, but it wasn't like you could walk outside of the hotel and have things to go do. You were getting in an Uber. So I think that this will be a good event for those to have options for things to do.
And I know if anybody like me was concerned with not getting your yearly Portillo's fix, which was one of the major benefits of it being in Chicago, I have already scoped out. There is a Portillo's within, I think it was like 5 miles away. So for me, I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to go to Portillo's at least once, probably more over the weekend. But yeah, that is something that I cared about. So just so everybody else knows.
I think that's a 15-minute drive with traffic. So that's not too bad.
That's worth it to me, Blake. It's worth every minute.
I was in, you know, I just got back from Texas where I've been taking care of my mom who's sick, and Dave Portillo's has expanded their reach to the Lone Star State. And I was driving around and I was like, that is a Portillo's. And this is me stopping. And this is me ordering food and a cake milkshake. That's cool. Yeah, definitely a classic food classic for Adepticon is Portillo's. So it's nice to know that that's still going to be an option for people. So, okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. And on the other side, we'll talk the actual events happening at Adepticon. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Duncan Rhodes from the Duncan Rhodes Painting Academy. And I hope you're about to apply a second thin coat just there whilst you're listening to Countercharge.
Hey, this is Mike Rossi, fourth Mike on the Unplugged Radio podcast, -28 contributor, giant nobody, Oscar the Grouch lookalike, and you're listening to Countercharge.
And we are back. So I know, Adam, when we were talking to you before and you guys were sort of taking over to run the events at Adepticon, the Clash event, and sort of what event would sort of take the place of when we had the team tournament or what it would be. I know you were really interested and curious about hearing feedback from the community. So I believe you put out some surveys, and can you kind of sort of take us through what that stakeholder engagement process was like into reaching out to people on what they wanted to see at Adepticon?
Yeah, absolutely. So we sent the survey out, had it attached to the previous episode that we did here. And really, you know, it's a kind of a clean slate year, right? So there's a lot of changes happening. So really wanted to get some ideas and feedback from the community, players that have gone to Adepticon or even ones that are interested in going, or even people that are just interested in providing what they enjoy about events. So sent out a survey with some targeted questions specifically for the Adepticon event, and got some really good feedback. So overall, we had 34 responded to the survey, which was a good number. You know, obviously more is always better, but the majority of the people that replied, I would say, are in the U.S. and the Midwest mountain area. But we've had a lot of people, or a couple people from like Canada. There's Texas, there's New York, there's even somebody from Italy filled out the response here. So we got a good variety of responses. And basically what we've identified is most of the people that replied are extremely likely or likely to go to the event. There's only less than 10% of people that filled it out were saying they're not likely to go. And then most people want to see 2,300 points. That was an overwhelming majority. It's like 77%. So going with that. Asked a little bit about special characters, how people felt with that. This was a little bit more of a mixed review, really kind of a split all across. Some people say yes, some people say no. Another third of people say they don't care. But there was a lot of open feedback and people kind of putting in there that what are good things and bad things about characters. So ultimately, with those things, we've decided, you know, 2,300 points is the way to go. This first year, we're not going to do any special characters or anything special for the
event. And by special characters, you mean like bespoke, like the Lone Wolf at Lone Wolf, like a character designed specifically for the event? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I know in years past for Adeptcon, they've had, you know, Ronnie the Bard, which provided, I think, inspiring for a unit. So we're not doing any of those upgrades or unique things outside of what the book has to offer this year. Something we think we'll, you know, send out another survey after Adepticon and see what people, you know, like and want to change. And maybe in the future, a tournament special character might be had. But for this year, we're going simple, easy, straight out of the book. And then we asked about the doubles event that was had before. And I was really excited about a new idea for an event that I was hoping other people would be excited about too, a pairings event, essentially where you bring a small army, like a 1,200 point army. You're then going to be randomly paired with a partner, somebody that ideally, you know, you don't know or haven't played with before. And then you and your partner are going to play a team game against another pair of players. So, and then in the second round, you're not paired up with the same person. You're going to be paired up with a new person to play with and play against two new players. So the idea being that Kings of War and the community we've talked about so much is so great. And this type of event will hopefully allow for experienced players as well as new players to intermingle and then also have an enjoyable game with this mix and match. So with the responses, got a good amount of people that were very interested in it. And a lot of people that said they weren't interested were more saying they like the team events. But it was still almost 60% of people were in favor of the pairings idea. So that's what we're going to be going for this year.
So it looks like
based off of the survey.
So it looks like that pairings tournament is going to be held on Thursday. Or is it Friday or Thursday of the week?
It'll be Friday.
All right, from March 28th, Friday. And like you said, so 1,200 points, three rounds. Each round you'll have a different partner. And then at the end, is it as far as scoring, are you just going to take everyone's individual score?
Yes, it is still individual scoring. And awards for this event are going to be a little bit less, I don't want to say structured, but it's going to be much more of a relaxed type of event. So this is the event that you show up with a 1,200 point army. You're going to roll some dice. You're going to have some fun and you're going to meet some new people. We're still going to hand out awards for our top three individual players as far as battle score goes. But sports score, we're going to do something a little bit unique where there's no like official sports markings or anything like that. We're just going to leave an open form survey for you, for every player to fill out on their teammate that game, as well as their opponents. And then the judges are going to review those and simply award a sportsmanship award to a peer that had the most outstanding review. So if you really enjoyed playing with Jeremy, you know, you're going to leave it's like a Yelp review, right? You leave a little review. You say, Jeremy's awesome. I had such a good time with him.
Would recommend.
Would recommend, you know, 10 out of 10. And it's really going to be, you know, just a judge's discretion thing. But we're going to read through all those responses we get. And it could be a quantity of replies, you know, maybe Blake got 5 replies. So, you know, three of his teammates and 2 people he played against wrote a really great words about Blake. And then, you know, it could be just that one guy that wrote out something that's just incredible, never heard of something like that, and want to really call out. So we're probably going to, you know, have honorable mentions with these types of things, but really want to just leave it up to the players to, you know, share their experience with other people they've played with or against, and award somebody accordingly.
I think, sorry to interrupt a bit, Adam, but I think in a lot of ways, this is a really cool idea. To me, it's almost like showing up at a gaming store, throwing down. For example, Jeremy, you and I got to play last year in the team tournament. Now imagine the game after that, you and I went and took on Corey and Adam together. You know, we're fighting against each other one round, and then the next round, we're teaming up against those guys, that type of thing. And I also really like the idea that somebody who's new can build up a small army, come in here, and they're going to get to play with somebody like you two, and you're going to go through it, and they're going to learn a lot more with playing with you, and how do you think about things, and how do you move? So even new players are going to get a lot out of it. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and with those things in mind, we've added a little bit extra time on the round timers for this type of event. You know, wanting to allow people to have that engagement. And then I'll have the rule pack, and hopefully it'll be attached with this release for the podcast here, so everybody can see. But a unique thing that we're going to do as well that is that you and your friends, you know, your pairing partner's army are going to work as if they were the exact same army. So that means inspiring works across the board, rally, any aura rules, it works for everybody. Something that's still kind of up in the air is where command dice are going to land. In the pairings event, I think personally, I like the idea of command dice, and, you know, we'll kind of, we're waiting right now for the Adepticlash event to kind of see where people land after they've had time playing the game. I know not everybody has their rules yet, or Clash of Kings books. But if the command dice are there, you can use one of your army-specific commands on your ally's army. So the whole reason behind this is you can't pick your teammate, so there's no way that this can really be broken. It's just going to be luck of the draw. And, you know, hopefully it makes some really cool stories where that really weird combo of I got, you know, mummies rallied up to a dash 20 because I allied with a Rakan player on one random game. And, you know, nobody wants to fight mummies at a dash 18, let alone a dash 20 type thing. So yeah, I'm really excited for the event, and I think that it's going to be a big hit, and I hope we get several people that are coming in Thursday night or early enough on Friday to be able to play.
Yeah, I really like it. I like that idea, you know, that in the past of the how you play it, where you don't quite know what you're playing with, and in this, it's you're bringing your own army, so you know what you're playing, but not knowing what your teammate is going to be makes it a really interesting problem to solve once you're on the table, right? I think a lot of people love wargaming, or one of the reasons why I do is you're presented a situation on the board and you have to think about what's the most best thing for me to do at this time with all these factors, and playing with a partner and against two people who they've never played, you know, they didn't know if they were playing together either. It's random for your opponents too. It's going to create so many interesting dynamics and things to think about. And in many ways, it's kind of like a fun ice cream social without the ice cream for the big weekend event, that if you want to play in the big tournament, but you want to have some warm-up games, just take 1,200 points that are legal outside of your big army and play that in the pairings event, get to know some people, get some practice, get the lay of the land. So in many ways, I think it's filling that role of the doubles event, but also adding a little bit of mystery an intrigue into it that always makes events exciting.
Yeah, and that's absolutely what we're going for. And, you know, we're going to do it for the first year here. Our plan is to always have a feedback survey at the end of the events for everybody that attended. And who knows, maybe people don't like it. well, we tried it. We're going to do something different if that's what the players want the next year. So, but really, really hope to see a good amount of people at this type of event.
And it looks like, too, there'll be a hobby award or just a plain judge's choice hobby award.
Yes. Yeah. And I talked with Blake a little bit about this. We're going to use our judges to kind of narrow down in both the pairings event and the Adepta Clash, which will have a formal like self-evaluation sheet. The pairings event isn't going to have any players self-evaluating. The judges will kind of go around, kind of like a player's choice type thing, but it'll just be a judge's choice. We'll identify maybe, you know, the top five or six armies that look, you know, kind of above the rest. And then our hope is to be able to recruit some of the top Mantic employees, the, you know, Ronnie Renton, the Kyle Przelinski, and get them to, you know, have a vote on the judges' side of things once we narrow it down. And, you know, I think that players will enjoy hearing that, oh, yeah, so Ronnie Renton voted for this person, you know, Kyle Przelinski really liked this, and the winner is, and, you know, announce who got the most votes from the panel of judges.
Okay, cool. And I know, Blake, in the past, we've always had sort of some of the dead zone firefight stuff happening on Fridays. Do we know any of the scheduling outside of these, the pairings event that we're talking about Friday and then the obvious he clashed over the weekend? Has dates or times been selected for any of the other Mantic systems?
We're going to have Ambush on Thursday. We're also going to have Armada on Friday. We're going to have the pairings tournament. And then, of course, Adept Clash on Saturday, Sunday. I believe Firefight is also Saturday and Sunday. There will also be, all 4 days are going to have Halo events. The big Halo Nationals is on Friday. There's a stockpile tournament on Thursday, which is everybody gets for that round is going to get the same special weapons for their fire team. Pardon me. On Saturday night, after Kings is over, for all the guys who are doing the Kings War tournament that want to give Halo a shot, we're going to do a small two-man demo tournament. So basically, it's the demo board, which is only a foot by foot, with two Spartans instead of four, just to make the games quick and easy, and go through and play a tournament with all those guys, so everybody can take advantage of it. I know at Masters Nova, a lot of guys are playing Flashpoint afterwards. This will let them all do it on Saturday night. And then Sunday, we're going to have a team tournament as well for Halo. And then I think Dead Zone is Thursday.
Do you know, is the Firefight tournament, is that going to, are they moving it up to a 2 day for Saturday and Sunday, or is it going to be different?
Okay, yes, Saturday only for Firefight. It's from 9 a.m. to 7.
Okay, so it's going to be a 1 day again on Saturday.
Yep. Sorry.
Okay. Well, that's cool. No, that's okay.
But anyway, so I'll go back to that. And Firefight is actually going to be on Saturday. Runs from the morning till evening. And then, of course, hopefully everybody will join us for Mantic Hangout on Saturday night.
So is Mantic Night, is there going to be a return of Mantic Night? Casual again like last year?
Well, last year was so successful that it's going to be somewhat casual. We are now going to have our own hall to do it in. So it is going to be a Mantic Night. It is going to be in the room. It's going to be like Masters was for Nova, where everybody can just hang out. You know, everybody goes off and gets dinner, comes back. We can all sit around, play some games, have some drinks, chat. I think it worked really well to have it casually last year. Ronnie came in and ran demos of Halo for people, if you remember. That type of thing. So that's our plan right now, is to leave it like that.
In my mind, that's not happening just Saturday night. No matter what night you're there, I mean, I know I'm going to be in the hall, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, probably even Sunday night, because I don't leave until Monday. So, you know, anybody that's looking to just hang out, have a place to relax and socialize, it's going to be the gaming hall every night over Adepticon.
Yeah, that was one of the things that people noticed at Masters, because Masters this year was in a convention. Everybody else had their little event and then they left and they didn't really come back. we're a community. We go off and have dinner, but we all came back. We all got to hang out repeat nights. We all generally like getting along and have a great time. Other people in other groups noticed that at Nova, that, you know, they commented to me like, you guys just hang out and play games. And yes, we all have fun. That's what we're trying to do.
Awesome. Well, sounds great. I think it, no matter which Mantic game you're into, you're going to have an opportunity. And I think at some point the games, it's just impossible, right, to schedule these games so you can play in every tournament that you want to play in, right? So you are going to have to make some choices if you love different Mantic game systems. And that's just the way that it is. I mean, it'd be impossible. There's not enough days at Adepticon to spread the tournaments out, so there's no doubling up. But
right. That's the one disadvantage of having a lot of great games that people like to play. And a lot of people who like to play one tend to generally play the others. But unfortunately, that kind of leaves it so you do have choices to make, because you're not going to be able to make everything. And of course, Halo being so big and popular right now, that's going to be a big push for us at Adepticon as well. So, you know, unfortunately, Halo's got to run. I know a lot of people want to play Halo. I'm trying to give them an opportunity to do so at any point, even if they're just there on Saturday and Sunday for Kings, that type of thing. But unfortunately, there's only so much wiggle room in a schedule. There's only so many hours unless we want to get there on Monday and play.
Again, signups for Adepticon are not until January of next year, but still a good idea to get to know when in Adepticon weekend all these events are going to be held, so you can start making your plans. But so let's go ahead and talk Adepticlash, big tournament over the weekend. Adam, why don't you sort of take us through some of the basics around Adepticlash? You know, you said 2,300 points. Why don't you take us a little bit through scenarios, some scoring, and before I hand it over to you, let me just talk briefly on a lot of people have asked around for next Masters and Masters in general around Masters position on command dice. And what we're doing right now, all the regional chairs, is we want to allow players and people within our region time to try it, time to play it. You know, so it's not just the people who were playtesting command dice. So right now the Masters committee is sort of allowing the regions to try it, play with them, test them out, see what they think. So there has been no official choice yet on command dice for Masters in 2025. But the reason behind that is we want to allow players in all the regions to have a few months to play with them, right? Test them out, see what they like. If you're an active player, let your regional chair in your Masters region know what you think about, and then we'll be making a decision later on down the line as regards to where we're going to use them or not use them, or use them whatever the decision. But that's the reason why we're in this sort of holding pattern, is we want to allow people to play test them and give their feedback, and then we'll decide.
Yeah, absolutely. That was going to be one of the things I touched base on, because I kind of mentioned it with the pairings event. I think the command dice work well in that type of event, because that event is intended to be a very casual event, more of a narrative play where, like you said, Jeremy, there's a fun way where you just kind of have a puzzle where you have to make your army work with this, ally of yours that you just met, and, you know, try to work together and try to figure that puzzle out and play against two other people that are in the same position. So having command dice in an event like that, I think, works well. The Adepticlash event, you'll find, and I'll go over the pack here, is going to be much more of your standard, I would say, competitive event. It's going to mirror the Masters, the Best of the Rest type of events almost to a T. That's because I pretty much just copy-pasted everything from Masters player packs. So the command dice, I would say, are more likely to happen with the pairings event. And then the Adepticlash event, we're simply going to follow whatever's kind of decided as far as the 2025 Masters. So realistically, we want Adepticlash to just kind of follow in line, and hopefully people, want to have a competitive event, a good essentially Masters practice or prep because this is happening in March and we're going to be in Reno in July. So that gives people a lot of, you know, a good amount of time to play, you know, what's going to actually be played at Masters. Hopefully, you know, like Jeremy was saying, hopefully we, you know, allow a couple months here, maybe sometime in January, we get the official feedback and surveys or polls filled out. And then the Masters Council will, you know, take the players' vote at that point and vote on it. So, but your Adepta Clash pack will be $2,300. Lists are going to be due a couple weeks before the event because we're going to do a matchup cast about a week out from the event. We're going to be doing blackjack, and you know, paint scoring is going to be a self rubric that then will be followed up by two judges also judging through the rubric. The self rubric is there intending to help the judges with their scoring. Just because you scored yourself on the self rubric portion, the max points possible, doesn't mean you're going to get those points. It all comes down to the judges' decision. So, otherwise, the pack is very straightforward. Scenario wise, kill's not going to be an option, but every other scenario is in the possibilities, and those are going to be randomly determined. And so nobody will know scenario until day of the event.
Yeah, everything's seems pretty straightforward, right? We're doing 65-minute rounds, or 65 minutes per player, right? Which is, I think, a pretty good standard time for 2,300 points.
Yeah, I think people are used to that. And, it's mostly, I like it because it's a good schedule to have, and it gives people a lot of or enough time, especially for a convention, to be done with your, you know, Saturday, be done with your Sunday, and have enough time to go do something else, to get dinner, then come back. So, you know, we want to try to adhere to that, timeline as far as the tournament goes on for the Adept Clash on Saturday and Sunday as strictly as we can. The pairings event, we added more time into, understanding that there's more nuances, there's more things. It's more of a social event. But, you know, like most other competitive events, we want to keep a tight schedule. Mm-hmm.
And I really like what you're doing with the player's choice, which is you have people voting on both days, and the top selections from day one can get displayed for day two voting. So that's a great idea, is that it helps guide people to see all the really great armies, and then it allows for the one that maybe doesn't win player's choice, it still gets some recognition, right? It still asks to be put on display for day two. So as a hobby guy myself, I like that method for doing player's choice, of having sort of like an initial round one voting and then displaying some of the top candidates for like the final voting. I like that for player's choice.
Yeah. And my, you know, the thought process behind that is because we have our own, hall. This is going to be a really great opportunity for us to show off the top end of those armies that show up. So what's ideally going to happen is those top end players' choice votes will be told, after round three, that, you know, your army's up for players' choice, and then have a display table set up. So that way we have, there's usually a good, 4 or 5 armies that are kind of the top end of the player's choice. And so we want to get those armies up front so that everybody can, you know, look at everything side by side. And then the next, you know, we're going to be playing games in that same hall over the evening. So people will have plenty of time to look at them. And then the next day will be the vote. That's what I envision with the player's choice.
And awesome. It's nice also to see, in looking at your awards, that there's going to be a first, second, third for overall, a first, second, third for best general. I like the awards that go to not just the top one, that if you finish second or third, it gives you something to shoot for. And I know your dream is to build this into an event of higher size. So then that way too, it means that more people are going to, you know, it's not like you're giving participation medals, right? It's still, you still have to finish in the top three, but I, I think that acknowledging people who not just the number one, but if you finish top in an area, I think that's good for promoting interest and keeping people excited who do want to compete for an award, is acknowledging more than just the top place.
Yeah, and I think that the idea that I have with Adepticon is that this is not going to be a small event. I think 60 players is like the low end that we're going to see at Adepticon this next year. I'll be happy, fine with 60 players, but I expect we're going to have more. Our Masters is a 64-man player event, and these awards are what's given out at those events. So we're really looking to push the envelope here and to come out of the gate swinging with this, renaissance year, as it were. So I think one of the new things to call out with the awards as well is we're going to add a Best Club Award. We want you to bring your friends along, no matter where you're coming from. So you have to have at least 3 players from your club to qualify, but it'll be the top 3 overall scores for each club, and then there'll be a trophy for the best club for the weekend as well.
Awesome. So something to not only some individual stuff, but if you want to be competing as a team, there will be some elements for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other things you want to note on the pack or the setup for the Clash event?
Not really. I think that we've been working hard. Blake's been a great person to work with. He's kind of our man we go to for answers, and he allows for me as well as the Outlanders, the gaming group that I'm a part of, our team to really hone in on what's going to make this event the best event we can possibly host. Ultimately this is a Mantic event, and it sounds like Mantic's going to be present and very involved as far as prize support and the booth and obviously the people that'll be there for Mantic. So really excited on that end. We've been working out a lot of things, kind of like you with Masters, Jeremy. There's just a lot of stuff to do, and you can't throw that together last minute. So I'm excited for it. And one thing I really hope people do is when the tickets go on sale in January, if you know you're coming, I'd really like to see a big wave, because as Blake said, we do need to show the numbers in order to guarantee that we're getting that event hall to ourselves. And the biggest event for Mantic is going to be the Adepticlash event. So I hope that everybody, is ready to go. I'm sure we're going to have another conversation before that happens as a reminder, but I'm really excited. I think this is going to be a great year, and we're already looking forward and having a great year this year, and it's just going to get better every year after that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing I'd like to say about that on the timing goes, I believe it's January 12th that the tickets go on sale for the opening for registration, and that event sign-up will be basically that time. When that happens, they're going to have a meeting towards the end of January, beginning of February, and that's kind of when we need to try to get as many people signed in as we can, because if we can get a really big number, we're going to get the bigger room. We're going to get the bigger space. Basically, they're going to give us the space that we command, but the command is going to be based on those sales. So hopefully everybody jumps in real quick. And the only thing I'd like to say on top of it, as far as the Outlanders running all these things, one of the things I'm excited about is also having the streaming going on that we're going to do, mainly to present it. Everybody will get to see hopefully how much fun Adepticon is. As far as like player's choice, Jeremy, as possible, I'm hoping that we can share some of the pictures of the army, if not videos of those armies on the stream, that type of thing. I'm not in charge of the camera, so I don't know how easy that is, but I'm hoping that that's all going to be available so that we can try to, for those who can't make it, or the gentleman in Italy, who's already responded to our survey, he can actually, check in and see how the top tables going at least.
So streaming wise, do you guys have someone set up who is going to be streaming, or any logistics or any info around that?
Yeah, good call out, Blake. So we have Grant Barnes here in Omaha. He co-hosted the Omaha Masters in 2023 with Matt Carmack. And the gear that they used, the setup was the stuff that we had, accompanied by, some of Mark, Matt's, equipment. They were able to run three tables that year for Masters, you know, one for best of the rest, two for the main event. I think this year, you know, being the first year, we're going with one table for live streaming. I know the Adepta Clash event is definitely going to be streamed. I believe the they're wanting to stream the Friday event as well, and in order, at the very least, for a kind of a soft opening to work out any bugs or whatnot, so that it's ready to go Saturday and Sunday. But something that Blake mentioned to me as well, that is that it sounds like Mantic wants to be a part of it in certain ways. So it sounds like there's going to be like special guests. So Ronnie Renton might stop by for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes in between rounds and talk to everybody watching about some exciting news that maybe he spilled on Mantic Night or something like that. And I believe other Mantic employees might be joining. And so it's going to be something where we're going to try to make it a little bit more of a production, and you know, we're going to show the games, but we also want to show the entirety of the events of the convention as well, as the games.
And Adepticon is that time, because it is definitely a lot of people are at Adepticon, right? As far as internet people, company ownership or whatever. So that is a great space to grab special guest stars, because you may have people, you have people from all over the world on site. Right. So I think that's a great idea to add that seasoning to a standard GT stream.
Yeah. And as far as that goes, it's AdeptCon is the biggest wargaming show. At AdeptCon, we want to put on the best show we can. Right. I think for just the Kings community, it's going to be the same for our Halo events. It's going to be the same for everything. This is the show where, as I said, you'll have 9,000 crazy guys trying to get through the hobby knife through the security. To get into the show. And that's going to be those guys. We want to put on the best show we can. We also want to show everybody else who can't make it why they need to come the next year.
But I have a fix for that, Blake. Just make it, and then you don't have to live in regret.
Right. And I apologize, guys, just so you know, Ronnie is not guaranteed, remember, Adam. I know we're hoping, but I don't want to.
Yeah, but if we say his name enough, he'll just appear, right? Yeah. It's just like
being. Well, you know, I have a thing. I pray to Santa Ronnie every night, and Santa Ronnie always delivers. Yep. So,
well, just so you know, Ronnie and I have meetings coming up in 2 weeks, and then we're seeing each other at PAX, and that's where we're going to discuss all of this stuff.
Tell him we talk about Santa Ronnie so often on the show. I need a cosplay photos of Ronnie in a Santa costume. Tell him that I need it bad. So
I think there's a photo of him in a Santa hat, at least.
Okay, well, that's something, because we always pray to Santa Ronnie. Well, cool. Well, we're going to take our final break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to wrap up the show. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Ash Barker from GMG, and you are listening to Countercharge.
I'm Andy 2D6, the Orange Legend, and you're listening to Countercharge. Get ready to charge those counters.
And we are back. So thanks again to Blake and Adam for coming on. So just a few logistical reminders, right, as we wrap up the show. Make sure you check out the Baird Center, Milwaukee, where AdeptCon is going to be hosted. AdeptCon coming March 26th to 30th. And I will advise you, if it's your first AdeptCon trip, or maybe you've been to AdeptCon once or twice before, go for the whole AdeptCon. I would go to get there on the Wednesday or Thursday. Really take advantage of it. It is a travel expense. It's worth it. I having gone now to Adepticon for the whole show, definitely is worth going for the whole show. Make sure you sign up early when registration opens on January 12th. As Blake said, make sure you sign up as early as possible if you're going to go, or even if you think you're going to go, because that's going to help Mantic get that extra space or get the space commiserate with how many people are signing up. So, and just plan early, right, guys? For What I always try to do this time of year, I open up a new Word document on my computer and it's titled Tournaments 2025. And I just start listing out what are the tournaments I want to go, what's the dates for each event, what are the travel logistics for each event. The more you plan, the more you can save money, and saving money, Adam, means more events, right?
That's right. That's how I do it. I make it to a lot of events, but that's because I go with other people. I split hotel. I split travel costs as much as I can. And, you know, one of the great things I had mentioned early on, I was going to Nerdhammer GT. I've made friends. So I'm utilizing some of those friends to pick me up from an airport and to crash in a hotel room with. So really that's what I love about the community, is that everybody wants to help each other out. And it's just so many good guys and girls in this community. So if you are struggling getting to Adepticon and you need some help with stuff, I know, you can reach out to me. You can reach out to Blake. We'd be happy to help you, figure out accommodations any way we can. We want to get as many people there as we can, and any way we can do that.
Yeah, make sure when you come to Adepticon, you come say hello. I know I will be there from the show. Rob will be there. Both of us are always there. All the guests and sometimes, contributors of Countercharge are often there. We'll always be hanging out in the Mantic room. So make sure you come talk to us. Go see Blake at the vendor hall. Buy lots of really awesome goodies. Mantic always has great deals at their Adepticon booth. Maybe I imagine Blake can't tell us what those are right now, but I imagine if there is something to be done, Blake, Mantic will have some sort of show something going on.
We're going to have a bunch of stuff going on, hopefully. One of the things is the new Halo Wave 2 releases at that time come out, including the book that'll actually give point values for everything. We'll be debuting there or at that time. And then on top of that, look forward to all of the gamers getting something from us. All of that will be determined 100% here in the near future, but awesome. Can't wait for people to see it. And the other thing you mentioned, going to the whole thing, this is kind of like the Wargaming Super Bowl. This is an event where you're going to get to see some amazing things. We are also going to be having our Brush with Death painting competition for Mantic as well. And then on top of all of that, just getting to hang out with everybody. And as Adam said, great preliminary for the Masters coming up out west.
Awesome. Cool. Well, stay tuned. I think probably we'll bring you guys back in January once registration is open, as a reminder to get people to register. We'll talk a little bit at that point, Blake. We'll do some Brush with Death stuff. We'll talk a little bit in more detail. We'll go through again the up and down the Mantic line of events to make sure everyone's fully up to date and scheduled, and just make sure if you're interested in going, you're signed up and your hotel room is booked, your travel is booked. Also, if you want to go to Adepticon and you're looking to share rides, you can always post in the Countercharge Facebook group in our own community, as many of us, both hosts, but parts of the show, but also listeners, we always send a big group to Adepticon. So if you're looking to try to get to know some people ahead of time or maybe share rides, post, feel free to post in our chat. If you haven't joined the Countercharge Discord page, they have a pretty active Kings of War text thread on there too, that are talking all things Kings of War. Plus there's rooms on the Countercharge Discord to play Universal Battle. If you want a room to hang out in while you're playing Universal Battle, come hang out in the Countercharge Discord group. So, but thanks guys. Like I said, we'll have you swing back on when we get closer to the event. But we've always talked about wanting sort of Masters as the invite championship and then Adepticon being kind of like the US Open, right? Another super high quality global or nationwide tournament, but one that anyone can enter. So I really think this is a great opportunity for us. Like you said, we're sort of starting from scratch, right, in some ways, as we have all the great history of all the great Adepticons run before us, but we have a new event and we have a new tournament to experiment with in that new event. So I'm like you guys. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, and just calendar wise, it works out well. We got spring for Adepticon here, or late winter, I guess, potentially. Milwaukee, you never know, I guess. So I think it works well with the current schedule for Masters as far as kind of opposite ends of the year. So I really do hope that people can make it out. And, you know, new venue, the Renaissance year. So let's make it great.
It's going to be great. I cannot wait, and looking forward to it. And I think it's a great way to cap off most of us for Master season for the Midwest. It's one of the last events we have that you can use to qualify for Masters. And the pairing of those two events is just awesome.
Great. Well, fantastic, guys. Thanks for coming on the show. And as always, remember to keep counter charging.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by commenting on the Countercharge Kings of War podcast Facebook group. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.